Please join with me now as we hear our scripture reading for this morning. And our reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we again thank you today that we can gather, even if it's around our TV sets or computers or phones or whatever they may be, to reflect upon the word that you have given to us. And we pray once again that as we do so, that you would speak to us. We pray that you would give to us open hearts to receive this word and the blessing that you have for us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as the coronavirus has plagued the world, as well as our own nation, right where we find ourselves, and as our church buildings have sat empty for many weeks at this point, we've heard the mantra, we don't go to church, we are the church. We've seen posts on social media telling us that the church is not empty, but that it's been deployed. And the intention of these statements is good, I believe. The intention of these statements is primarily to remind people that the church is not a building. The church is the people. The intention of these statements is to remind us that we are the church, regardless of where we find ourselves at this particular moment in time. And the intention is to remind us that we can both minister to others and be ministered to, no matter where we are. And these statements are, in a sense, very true. It's true that the church is not a building, but that it's the people. This is why in the AFLC, we tend to utilize the word congregation more than we use the word church. We do so because, again, we want to emphasize not the meeting place, not the perception that we have here in our society that the church is a building, but the body of believers. It's also true that we can minister and be ministered to no matter where we find ourselves. And with modern technology, this is more true right now than it's been at any other point in history. I know, speaking for myself, for quite a long time, I've made use on resources from the internet for my own growth in faith. Over the last many years, I've been asked, I don't know how many times, how as a pastor I get fed. And since I'm the one who typically does the feeding, since I'm the one who's usually up front conducting the teaching that goes on, people wonder how I myself learn and how I grow. Now, one answer to this question is that I get more out of Scripture when I'm preparing to preach or when I'm preparing to teach than I do when I'm simply reading the Bible on my own or when I'm simply listening to a message. I'm fed in my preparation because I'm taking a lot of time to study the Bible passage we're going to be talking about. And so in this sense, I am fed as I prepare myself to feed others. However, that being said, I also listen to a lot of other preachers and teachers. Many of you, you've seen me around town walking with my German Shepherd, and as I walk her every day for her benefit as well as my own, the thing that I'm doing is I'm listening to Bible teaching through my headphones. And of course, when I'm at home, I take some time to read as I'm able. And as a church, we've been able to make use of these tools. We've been able to make use of these resources at this point in time. As all of you know, throughout the shutdown, we have been able to record a short worship service each week that can be viewed both on YouTube as well as on Facebook. It can be heard on our website and through our podcast feed. We've been able to make prayer needs known by our email list and by our new Faith Life platform, which I would encourage you to start using if you haven't already. We've been able to host Bible studies and Sunday school classes and youth group meetings on programs such as GoToMeeting. And these methods have enabled us to both maintain our connections as well as continue our proclamation of the Word of God. However, over the course of the past 5 to 6 weeks, whatever it's been now, I think we have found this to provide little comfort. As good as these methods are, and even though, yes, we can continue to learn and we can continue to grow by using them, they're just not the same. They're a good supplement, to be sure, but they're simply not as good as the real thing. They're not as good as the gathering together of the body of Christ. We have found that something is missing when we are not gathering together as a body. And I don't believe this is due to tradition, due to the fact that this is just what we are used to doing. I don't believe this is due to the fact that we are simply getting used to a new normal, to the way things will be in the days and months and years ahead. I think we feel this way because something is indeed wrong. Yes, the church is undeniably the congregation. And yes, we are the church, no matter where we may find ourselves. We may even be able to do ministry in ways that don't include gathering together face to face. However, the term church, it refers more than to just a group of people. It refers to more than just a group of believers who identify with one another. The word church actually refers to the assembly of believers in Jesus. The church is a group of believers that assemble together. It's the gathering together of our fellow believers in Jesus. And although, yes, we primarily assemble together for worship, we also assemble together for many other reasons as well. We gather together quite often for prayer. We gather together for Bible study. We gather together for fellowship. We gather together as we coordinate our ministry efforts, and we gather together to carry out our ministry. If anything, I think this crisis has caused us to see something to which we have been blinded as the church here in America for many years now. Although at one time the church had been the center of community life, this hasn't been the case here in the United States for some time. Even if it remains true in other parts of the world, again, it's been something that's absent from church life here in the United States. The center of community life seems to have shifted. For many, the center of community life now seems to be the school. It seems to revolve around athletics in particular. Simply put, we have other priorities around which our lives center. For many believers here in our nation, being a church member means nothing more than being a member on paper. It means nothing more than having your name listed on the register of church members. It means being a member in the church, even though, we really don't participate all that much, if at all. For many believers in our nation, going to church means going only periodically. It means going for the major holidays or for the major celebrations. It means going when there are special events that are taking place. It means going to church when we're not too tired and when we have the time to do so. And for many church members, when we do go to church, it means getting in and getting out as quickly as possible. It means walking in the doors right before the service starts and getting out as soon as it's over. What I'm suggesting is that for many of us, we have not valued the relational aspect of the church. We haven't valued the fellowship that is experienced as we truly interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We haven't truly valued the assembly of believers, which, as I mentioned, is the church. Our tendency has been to look at our faith as a very personal matter. We see the life of faith as something that is to be lived alone, and some have described this mentality as a Lone Ranger type of mindset. Now, there is an aspect of this that's absolutely true. It's true that our faith is personal. It's true that we're saved by our faith and by no one else's. It's not the faith of our church that saves us. It's not the faith of our parents or our grandparents that saves us. It's by our faith that we are counted righteous before God. It's by our faith that we are granted the blessings that have been prepared by Jesus, by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. However, that being said, the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. It's not meant to be private. It's not meant to be personal. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be communal. It's meant to be a corporate faith. And this is something that we see as we look at the example of the early church. And we see this clearly as we look at our lesson for this morning. And so I will encourage you to follow along with me as we look at Acts 2, starting in verse 42. Let me first, however, give you a little bit of background. We see earlier in this chapter that Peter had preached a sermon to the crowds on the day of Pentecost. At that time, Jews from all over the world, they were gathered together in Jerusalem for their celebration of the Feast of Weeks. It was the time of year when the Jewish people gathered together to celebrate the first fruits of their harvest. And the people were confused and filled with wonder as they each heard the apostles proclaiming the good news of Jesus in his own language. These men, who were all Jews, were proclaiming the gospel in languages that they had never learned. They were proclaiming the gospel in languages from all around the world. Now, rather than seeing this for what it was, rather than seeing it as a work of God, some of the people who were there, they accused the apostles of drunkenness. And for this reason, Peter, he stood up to address the crowds. He clearly laid out for them the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel. And as a result, we are told, about 3,000 people were saved. Now, that's amazing in and of itself. It's amazing that as people saw the work of God and as they heard the word of God, that thousands were saved. However, another amazing thing that we see in all of this is the spiritual life that proceeded from it. In our lesson for this morning, we see how these believers lived. We see how they interacted with one another. And what we find is that they truly valued the gathering together of believers. Starting in verse 42, we read this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I'm not sure if you remember, but a few years ago, I preached a month-long series on just this one verse. Each week we looked at one aspect of their devotion and of their activity. As we look at this description, we must note that they were in fact devoted to these activities. Another translation says that they continued steadfastly in these activities. And it's clear from this that these were not activities in which they engaged from only time to time. They weren't activities in which they engaged only when they weren't too busy. They were dedicated to them. They were constant in them. Now, my intent is not to get too deeply into this morning. After all, my focus is not on the activities themselves, but on the interactive nature of it, the group aspect of these activities. But let's briefly take a look at them. We see, first of all, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So this would refer to the preaching of God's word. They were attentive to the teaching that the apostles gave to them, and they made frequent use of it. We also see that they were devoted to the fellowship. And the fellowship, it refers to their close association with one another. It refers to the sharing of their lives with one another. In other words, they frequently spent time with one another and they were intentionally involved in one another's lives. We then see that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And again, we can't get into this too deeply right now, but this seems specifically to refer to the Lord's Supper. While they did share meals together, this would be included in the fellowship in which they shared. This phrase, the breaking of bread, seems to be taken from Luke 24:30, where we read how Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples. So we learn from this that the early believers were devoted to the Lord's Supper. They received it often as they gathered with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And finally, we are told they devoted themselves to the prayers. Now, this phrase, it refers to a system of liturgical prayers that was practiced by the Jews and which was continued by the early believers. These were prayers that were usually memorized and recited. And this was typically done not alone, but with others. This would typically be done with their families or with other groups of believers, and they were typically offered up at particular times of the day. Now moving on, starting in verse 44, Luke says this, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as anyone had need." Now, some people, they misinterpret this verse, and they take it to mean that the early Christians were all communists. And this is not what this verse is telling us. We are told by this, however, that the early believers shared a unity that is honestly not possessed in the world. We are told that not only did they share a unity, but that they were generous with one another. We are told that they would sell their possessions and that they would give the proceeds of that sale to others as they had need. And we are told that they had all things in common. In other words, they shared what they had among themselves. And this was not forced. It was voluntary. It was a willing and it was a joyful generosity that was expressed, that was displayed by the members of the church. It was one of the many ways in which they loved and cared for one another. And then in verse 46, we read, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, the interesting thing in these verses is how often they gathered together. You see, it wasn't periodically, nor was it week by week. It was day by day. In other words, the people of the church were gathering together, and they were interacting with one another on a daily basis. They did so to attend temple together. And this would primarily involve the times of prayer that I mentioned a moment ago. And they gathered to break bread in their homes. They gathered both for meals as well as to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Now, as we read this, it brings to mind the interaction of a family. It brings to mind the interaction of a family that shares life with one another. It brings to mind the interaction of a family who is concerned for the welfare of their fellow family members. And this is exactly what the early church was. It was a family. This is what we're called to be as well. We aren't mere individuals who gather together every once in a while. We're a family. Together we are the assembly of God's people. We are the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. As we look at the last couple of verses in our lesson for this morning, we see that this interaction of the church members, it wasn't done in secret. They didn't keep their faith and the practice of their faith private in any way. We're told that the church enjoyed the favor not only of God, but of all the people. And this tells us that even those who were not Christians themselves, they knew who they were, they knew what they were up to, they knew who in their community was a believer in Jesus, they knew who in their community was a part of the church. And this wasn't a problem, because the church enjoyed the favor of all. It enjoyed the favor of believers, and as I mentioned, non-believers alike. So even those who didn't share their faith looked favorably upon the Christians in their community. They were viewed positively within the community. And day by day, more people were being saved. Day by day, more people were being added to the church. Now, hopefully you can agree with me that this is an absolutely amazing picture. And if you already weren't sensing what we're missing as we've dealt with this pandemic, I really hope this enables you to do just that. I hope you're able to see what the church is meant to be and what we're missing out on as we are secluded from one another. I hope it enables you to see what we were missing out on before this pandemic even began as we tried to live out our faith independently of one another. And more importantly, I hope this creates within you a hunger to gather together with the church when this shutdown fully lifts. I hope you have a hunger to gather for worship, not only once in a while, not only when you're not too busy, not only when you're not too tired, but I hope you'll gather together, you'll hunger to gather together for worship each and every week. I hope and pray that after church, you'll stay for coffee and goodies. And while that might sound like a very simple thing, there is much more involved in that. I hope and pray that you'll look forward to sitting around the table with others in our congregation, simply talking and sharing life with one another, finding out how your brothers and sisters in Christ are doing. And I hope and pray that you'll stick around for Sunday school, both adults and children alike. But my hope for you is even greater than that. I hope and pray that you'll be content to gather together not only once a week, not only on Sunday, but I hope and pray you'll desire to do so more often. I hope and pray that you'll eagerly gather together with a small group or even for Wednesday night Bible study. I hope and pray that you'll gather with the women's group or with the men's breakfast once a month at the church. I hope and pray that you'll go with us on retreats or on mission trips. I hope and pray that you'll participate with us in various service projects. I hope and pray that you'll interact informally as well. I hope and pray that you'll invite your fellow church members over to your home for a meal or simply for a visit. I hope and pray that you'll go out to eat with your fellow church members so that you can simply share life with one another. I even hope and pray that you'll go on vacation together. And when there are needs among your fellow church members, I hope and pray that you'll do all that you can to minister to those needs. If there's a financial need, I hope and pray that you'll do what you can to meet it. If there's a physical need, I hope and pray that you'll prepare meals and drop them off to the one who is affected. I hope and pray that you'll offer a ride to the doctor. I hope and pray that you'll simply drop by to sit with them in their hour of need. I realize that we're all busy, but you know what? I'm sure, I'm positive that the people of the early church, they were pretty busy as well. We make time for that which is important to us. We make time for those who are important to us. And I hope and pray that this time of separation will help you to understand what is truly important. I hope that it'll enable all of us to understand that we truly need one another and that each one of us is God's blessing to the rest of the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gift of the church. We thank you for our fellow believers, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who gather with us for many different reasons. And we pray that you would help each one of us to truly value that. We pray that we'll value this time together that so much that it will become a priority for us in our day-to-day lives. And We pray that in this way we would be a blessing to one another and also a blessing to our community. So be at work in us as your church, and be at work through us. And we pray that you would hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.